There's a lot to say when buying a new home or car, but only one thing to say that can help you protect them. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Hear me?
I did. I heard you.
And just like that, a State Farm agent will be there to help you choose the coverage you need. You just say that and they show up. They come jumping out of a shrub.
Oh, cool.
No matter where you are in life, when you need the coverage options, your State Farm agent is there to help on the phone or in person. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend is sponsored by ADT. Introducing ADT self-setup, featuring everything from motion sensors to Google Nest cams and the Nest doorbell with a battery or wired option. Easily install the ADT self-setup security system at your convenience. This is so good because I can't set up anything.
I know, me neither.
And they've made it simple. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm terrible. I can't get an electric toothbrush to function properly.
Yeah, so easy even Conan O'Brien can do it.
That's what they should say from now on. Yeah. No heavy-duty tools are needed. And if you need help, ADT can provide virtual assistance along the way. Also features Nest cams that can tell the difference between a person, an animal, a vehicle, or with the Nest doorbell, even a package.
That's cool.
That's cool. Plus, when every second counts, you can trust ADT's 24/7 professional monitoring. Go to ADT.com today or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. Google Nest Cam, Nest Doorbell, and Nest Aware are trademarks of Google LLC. Hello, this is Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend Deep Dive with Dana Carvey. Hey, Dana.
Glad to be here, Conan.
It's a six-part mini-series where I, Conan O'Brien, along with occasional help from my assistant, Sonam Ovsesian.
Hi.
And my producer, Matt Gourley.
Hi.
Go deep into the weeds with one of my favorite comedians and friends, Dana Carvey. Enjoy.
Fall is here, hear the yell, back to school, ring the bell, brand new shoes, walking blues, climb the fence, books and pens, I can tell that we are gonna be friends.
I'm sitting here with Dana Carvey.
Thank you, Conan. Is anyone else doing this right now on the planet?
I don't think there are any other podcasts.
I'm fascinated.
This is the only one.
Hi, listeners. You're probably at Gelson's right now. Remember to get the yogurt. Plain vanilla for the wife with walnuts and sliced oranges. I've gone too personal.
Yeah, you nailed it. You nailed our, because that's our demo, is the Gelson's yogurt shopper.
Well, I love the idea that people are listening to these things while they're doing other things.
Right. They're like applying ointments right now. Very intimate things are happening while people listen to this stuff.
Oh, yes. With machines that they can hold.
What?
What? Wait,
what
are you talking
it's
about?
It's whatever they you think that is. I have no idea.
I think
I'm
you
just
do.
Trying to produce verbiage. That's this job requires. I'm an empath. I want everyone in here to be happy.
Oh, that's very nice.
Dana wants everyone to be happy at all times, but also you also want certain people to be unhappy at times. I know that about you. You're a devilish imp.
I have a bit of a competitive streak in me.
Do you really?
If someone challenges me in a certain way and their face conflates with my father's face, then I'm never violent. I always had to go with words. I couldn't fight anybody. Look at me. I'm a miniature person.
No, but you.
I'm not really a full man.
You destroy them with your comedy beam that you shoot out of your forehead.
Well, yes. I remember when I did meet Seinfeld at the comedian's cars, first thing he said was, look at you, you're a toy person.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And it's not like he's a giant either.
Jerry, I thought that was funny. He goes, the comedians are the most secure people in the world because we've had so much feedback in life. That anyone can say anything about me. I mean, look at me. I don't have a chin. I don't even have a face. Why do you think I wear these? I don't really need them. This is infrastructure. I'm losing volume in my face. The scruff and this is just a great. Otherwise, I'm the invisible man. My eyebrows are going. I mean, you know. Wow. And I do a few little things. I'm not going to have a white goatee when Ringo's encased in a chocolate head of beautiful brown beard and hair. All my heroes are dipping and foiling, and they are definitely.
You're not going to go that way. It would be really funny if you have the listener can't see this right now, right. But you have a gray with
little specks. You do just specks. A little bit.
You have a gray goatee, with and it would be really specks. Funny if you went jet black on the goatee, but kept your hair that sort of right. sandy blonde.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, well, I you know, I reside inside, you know, so this I didn't ask for these little hands and this little chinless face. Right. I'm just a member of the human race. You know, don't compare, don't despair. You reside inside. We all do.
What is this? What
I
is
can't
this song?
Hide.
What is this song?
I don't know. It's a beat poet thing. I don't know.
Oh, my God. That was incredible.
It's a song my brother wrote.
Oh.
Yeah. I reside inside. Look at these feet. These funny little feet. I didn't ask for these feet. I was given these feet because I reside inside.
Your brother wrote that?
Oh, yeah. He wrote 200 songs. Wow. Scott. That's Scott Carvey. Mm-hmm. Was I a little too close? Now Conan is looking at my hair, eyebrows, my glasses.
The reason that you and I are doing these mini podcasts is because I had the time of my life talking to you.
It's a lot of fun.
On the podcast the last time. And one of the things you did, everything you said made me laugh so hard I cried. One of the things you started talking about was you started doing an impression of Johnny Carson getting pulled over after going to have a drink in the 1970s.
Right.
And, you know, Johnny liked his drink occasionally, his cocktails. And he occasionally got pulled over, and it was a different time. But you did an impression of him getting pulled over and talking to the officer about where he had been and what he had been drinking.
Yes.
And it made me cry, and I wanted more.
And that is the brain candy of where he was and what he had.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
I think here we go.
You're going to pick one?
Go. No, you do it. You go.
Okay.
Oh, sorry, officer. I had a strawberry boom boom at the Winking Wreck.
Strawberry boom boom at the Winking Rat?
That was the first time that's ever been said out loud. Yeah.
Can I have some more, please?
I had a feisty feather at Slippery Tim's.
Again, it makes no sense to humanity.
But it's perfect because this is the kind of drinks and the kind of restaurants that they had.
To me, it's always, if I can get to five questions, then I like the bit.
Right.
I need five questions. Why is Johnny going to those places? Why do they call the drinks that? Why, when he gets pulled over, does he have to say what he drank and where he drank? And what does the cop think about when he hears that? So
right.
It almost gets to that.
I had a lucky leopard at Mr. Ducky's.
You know, it's just...
I had a couple of foaming swans at Mr. Frosty's.
It's always two.
It's always two.
No, it's always two.
I had a banana daiquiri up with ice at the Bahama Mama.
It's just rhythms. You guys are too good an audience. Good night, everybody. I want to thank Conan and Earwolf and Stitcher. I want to thank you all. This has been tremendous. Thank you and good night.
Oh, my God. I really love that.
I just wrote those for this. I'm going to write a few more.
And what was the one? There was one from last time that also killed me. I can't remember what it was.
Well, the very first one was, sorry, officer, I didn't know I was swerving. I had two slippery monkeys at the Hook and Crook. And that has a great rhythm, right?
Yes.
Slippery monkeys at the Hook and Crook.
I had two frozen pillows at the Windy Summit.
That's another question. Why is Johnny cruising around Malibu drinking these giant, exotic, sugary drinks?
But I also love that that's what gets him off. Like, the cop's like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
But yes. Yeah. But it's also great that he, in that condition, would be able to remember this elaborate drink and this elaborate name of the place he's been.
Because it doesn't sound nefarious. Like, if he ever went to AA,
yes, and I had too many foaming swans at Mr. Ducky's.
Yeah.
It'd be like, I don't know if you belong here.
No, I had 10 of them.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't seem like alcohol.
I can't seem to stop.
A strawberry boom boom at the Winking Rat.
The Winking Rat.
Were you even drinking?
Okay, so no, Dana, okay. Here's something you do that... That I love, and I think you're one of the best at it in history, which is you take two people that don't belong together, mm-hmm. and you mash them together. And I think that's obviously a lot of comedy, without getting overly analytical, because I hate that, is taking things that don't belong and putting them together.
Yeah.
Okay, we know that, but you have this way of taking people who don't belong in the same space and jamming them together, and suddenly they have to interact with each other.
Well, I can't. I mean, that one, the two operatic performances in movies that really, really last, and they last with young people too, are Robert Shaw in Jaws.
Robert Shaw in Jaws, Quint, classic, yep.
And Al Pacino's Tony Montana. So I connect those only in the operatic rhythms that will never leave your, you know, like shotgun or whatever, you know, that guy.
Yeah.
I mean, is so brilliant. So I was using him kind of discussing the Mueller report.
So who is this? This is
Robert Shaw from Jaws.
Robert Shaw from Jaws is doing the Mueller report.
Discussing the report.
Yeah.
$25 million was spent 2 years. 4,900 interviews, 1 million documents, Chiefy. No collusion was
And the whole time he's eating a little biscuit, right?
Well, it's from the one where he's on the ship. You know, 24 go in the waters. Pretty soon that shark come around. William Barr got kind of like a doll's eyes, all black and lifeless. So it's basically taking things from history and putting them in my...
I love that.
But you've heard my Al Pacino.
Yeah, I
want to
hear it.
Dinner.
I want to hear it.
I always did this bit, and I still come back to it. And it has a lot of the nonsensical musical nonsense that I like. It's Al Pacino. It's Tony Montana at Thanksgiving dinner. Mm-hmm. So it's just that rhythm of pasa sweet potatoes. Pasa sweet potatoes. I look around the room, man. I don't see no sweet potatoes on the table. I told you, I want a KM or a sweet potato. But why? You don't put a sweet potato on the table? I don't know why you fuck with me, man. Why you gotta do that? Huh? I know I put you up to this. It's that fat bitch grandma. Look at you, man. Look at you. I see you all the time, man. You like to eat. I look at you all the time, man, you know. You got a box of chocolates. You take the chocolate out. You stick your thumb in the back. You don't get the caramel. You put it right back in the goddamn box. Because you don't check it again. On a women's sampler, there's a guy. On the lid, a guy. It corresponds with a chocolate. That says coconut. You know it's a coconut, but you don't check it again. You never check it again. You're going to check it again. So that is something I love to do. It could go on.
Yes.
But you don't check it again. And sometimes that will be a 10-minute bit. But
I love when grandma goes, she's picturing everyone else at the table belongs at a Thanksgiving table, except.
I love that.
Every part of mom. We got a bowl of canned corn and a can of cake. So I love that when Pacino was doing the Cuban accent, what certain words would sort of do to his mouth and how he would say them. Like, you got a cake and a cat of corn. It's like, well, you know, that's just like, it's my head. I got a cat cake and a can of corn. You don't do what I like with a bad cat. So anyway, fuck me. What do I got?
Nothing brings the family together like a large two-topping pizza. It's mm-hmm. the perfect way to celebrate any occasion. This happens all the time at my house.
Yeah.
I say, kids, let's get together. Your father wants to tell you stories of his childhood. Nobody comes running, all right? But guess what? When I get one of those two large two-topping pizzas at Domino's, suddenly everybody wants to hear from Daddy. At Domino's, you can carry out large two-topping pizzas for just $6.99 for this week only. No limit on number of pizzas. You know, what toppings do you like? I like pepperoni.
I like olive. I like bell pepper. I like mushrooms. I know you don't like mushrooms. I like mushrooms.
Yeah. Well, you didn't have to out me as a no mushroom guy, but okay. Domino's Pizza. That's the way to get the whole family together. And this is a great deal. Visit Domino's.com or use the app to order your large two-topping pizzas for $6.99 each. Carry out only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Valid 4/22 through 4/28. Tax may apply. Prices, participation, and charges may vary. Sona, where else can you go surfing and skiing the same day, huh?
I don't know.
Or check out a world-class art museum and then camp at a dark sky sanctuary that night, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, where else can you hike through redwoods and then get a luxury spa treatment?
Where?
Well, you live there. California. California, Sona. No matter where California. You go across the state, you'll find a way to play. I'm a California resident. So are you. Sona, you are a lifelong California resident.
I'm a lifer. I love this place.
This is a beautiful state. Gorgeous. So many different, wonderful ecosystems in one state. You can hang out by a Palm Springs pool. You know, you can go whale watching. You can go hiking in Yosemite. And then talk about the great cities in California. You get all this amazing food, sushi, whatever you want. They got it in California. Hey, if you can't find it in California, man, you got a problem.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have done that. I made that up on my own. Anyway, I love California. Discover why California is the ultimate playground. Head to visitcalifornia.com to start planning your trip today. Sona, what would you do with $100 billion? Seriously.
Oh, I would buy a country.
Okay. I would buy just a ton of yachts and private jets, and I would duct tape them all together and then just have it go in a circle in the Pacific Ocean.
What?
Yeah. I don't know, just to be a total jerk. Anyway, there is a correct answer.
Oh.
And it's build incredible cities in fantastical locations while competing with your friends to be the biggest tycoon in the world. What do you think of that answer?
That's better than mine.
Yep, and mine, which you can do with Monopoly Go, the hit mobile game that's so much fun, it's been downloaded over 150 million times. It's the fun of classic Monopoly on the go, anytime, anywhere, endless new surprises like tons of boards and crazy mini games. You can team up with your chums on community chess and tournaments to get big money, or you can go after their fortune changing rent on your properties or even pulling a bank heist on them. So much fun. It's incredible. So start building up your billions today. Go download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store and Google Play. You know, it's incredible to have the flexibility to work in all sorts of places, whether it's taking video calls from the park or emailing large files while you're grocery shopping. Sona, this is good for you.
Is it?
Because you're always doing whatever work you do for me from fun locations.
But I like blaming it on not having reception.
I know, but you can't do that here. Working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network, which is why you should check out T-Mobile, Sona.
Okay.
Then you got no excuses. They're America's largest and fastest 5G network. With T-Mobile, you'll be covered in more places with the 5G speed you need for your life on the go. Plus, they also cover more highway miles with 5G than anybody else. Check it out if you don't believe me. Hey, Blay, you've got T-Mobile, right?
I do. I was actually just up in the woods in Idlewild. It was fantastic for the weekend, and my T-Mobile didn't miss it. My T-Mobile phone didn't miss it.
You know, I wouldn't think you'd need a cell phone because you speak so loudly into a microphone.
Well, I had to look some stuff up.
Just take it down a
notch. I didn't know what brunch was.
I can hear him.
When the restaurant's open for brunch.
Okay.
So I used my T-Mobile coverage to check
terrific,
out brunch.
Blay. That's all right. Anyway, wherever you are, you know, take it from the loud-speaking Blay. If you're on the go, you want to be in the know, you want to make the show.
What?
T-Mobile.
Okay.
That's the one for you.
That was
I should
weird.
Have rhymed it with go. Anyway, find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today. Coverage not available in some areas. Fastest based on median overall combined 5G speeds, according to analysis by Ookla of Speed Test Intelligence Data Q3 2023. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com. What do you do? Are you ever alone doing this stuff and
yes.
No one's there?
Yes.
You'll be alone completely. Like, I'm just saying, you're in your bathroom, you've just brushed your teeth, but you're looking in the mirror.
Yes.
And you start to do this.
Yes. Sometimes I will.
Does your wife walk in and is it, does it upset her?
Well, it's embarrassing if she does, but I'll do it on hikes too. But if I want to extend either of those bits, I'll just practice them
You do
myself.
It on hikes?
On
so
hikes.
A fellow hiker could be in the woods and then they could
yeah.
hear
oh, yeah.
Tony Montana at Thanksgiving
yeah.
dinner.
What are you going to do, mom? What are you going to do? I don't got a cat AM. I got a stove for stuffing. I got, what do I got to do with that? And then I'm
coming around and I'll see someone hiking and then I have to pretend that I'm singing or talking or whatever.
Right.
I mean, I have to say them out loud to learn them. I'm trying to learn Javier Bardem. I want to learn him.
You want to learn Javier Bardem?
Him too.
Yeah. So I think maybe the first thing to do
is state school. First thing to do, Harvard.
Yeah, that's what they do when you go to Harvard. Is they teach you what an actor's name is.
I'm fascinated.
Just Javier Bardem. That's not a. Oh, look at Egghead over here.
Well, it's very, because I saw him at the Oscars. I went to the Oscars, which was a fluke. You know, because Mike Myers was in Bohemian Rhapsody. Yep. I'd not been to the Oscars in 27 years. Suddenly, I'm in the third row center. I mean, I have the best seat, my wife and I. And I looked over and I saw Javier. Is that how you?
Javier Bardem.
Javier. You get the guttural thing.
Wait, why are you doing Javier. The ha thing?
Just that's because he's a really good friend of mine and his name is Javier Bardem.
That you is could just like say Javier.
Javier Bardem. I can do it as Al Pacino.
Javier Bardem.
I don't call you son of obsession. I call you son of obsession.
Okay. No, you could just say Javier.
Javier Bardem. Yes. And so I saw him, and I'd never seen a human being that exotic looking. Like the back of his skull was like, and then
he's very noble looking.
His mat, the face, and and then I saw him backstage, and he says, "Why are you presenting?" Well, I'm from Wayne's World. Well, that's no reason for you to present. Okay. But I did.
Do you do that? Could you do that scene in No Country for Old Men?
Oh, I love it. I know.
I know, but you playing with that scene about that quarter. Yes. I mean, you would have a lot of fun with that.
Quartered. Well, I don't want to call it. I got to know what I'm betting on. Everything. It's a very quiet,
very quiet, but I also like that he's eating nuts. Javier Bardem is eating nuts, and he's talking to, in No Country for Old Men, and he's at the counter with the guy in the gas station, and he's... But it does feel to me like you could do a million comedy things with him. Why are you presenting at the Oscars?
Yeah.
You know?
Right, yeah, just right up in my face. Yeah, it's basically that kind of intimidation. But yeah, he's so brilliant.
And then he says, don't just put that quarter back in your pocket.
Don't put it caught because it mixes with the other quarters.
Yeah.
And then it's not a magic quarter, is it? Well, I don't know what I'm... It's funny about that accent, how we just accept that it's stereotypically, they're not too bright, people from the South. I can't figure anything out. You go on and get a brain surgeon. We're going to pop off top of your skull. It's going to be real scary. We're going to dig on down deep in there, sir. I actually had a neighbor who talk like that, Mississippi Joe.
Mm-hmm. Was his name Mississippi Joe?
No, it was Joe, and I named him Mississippi Joe.
And he talked like that.
He talked like that. Good gosh. And that the bit that I based kind of around Mississippi Joe was the only thing that Netflix asked me to drop from my special.
Why is that?
Well, I don't know why. But basically, it was just a story of driving in the South. We were doing stand-up, looking for a place to eat. We met this Southern guy, super nice. You fellas looking for something to eat? Well, we got Joe's Diner down. Go down, take a ride at the Willow Tree. You see it right on the left. There's nice old food in there. But if you're hungry, I got some peach cobbler on. You can come all up my house. And I looked at him and said, we're not going up into your house, you sick fuck.
They didn't like that?
It was too much. Well, I don't know. I have a weird brand. I'm kind of like the nice guy. That's why I've had confusing things happen to me throughout my life. People, is he edgy? Is he not? Is he dark? Is he light? Is he what?
People that think,
get confused.
It's just going to be friendly, family-friendly comedy from nice Dana Carvey, and then you go super dark.
Yeah, or they just don't know. When I did the show on ABC, they just thought the church lady was a primetime character, but it was very subversive in actuality. You're naughty bulbous, and we don't like Jesus and Satan. It was not ready for 9:30 at night,
right.
But they thought it was.
Right.
Sorry, Robert Iger. Congratulations on the Avengers. That's fascinating. But anyway,
what you follow those movies? Do you follow the Avenger movies?
I kind of do. I'm more 2001. I saw it three times at the Arclight when it was reissued. The final time I saw it in the Dome with only two people down below. So a private
2001 Space Odyssey. You
2001
watched it
Space Odyssey three
times when they reissued it.
I watch it twice a year. It's like a meditation to me. I think it's absolute genius. Don't you?
Oh,
2001?
You know what? My son hasn't seen it yet, and I want to show it to him.
He started that. When they're outside the spaceship.
Yeah.
Why are you presenting at the Oscars? I'll tell you something interesting about the Oscars. Not a joke. So I was right. I saw Bradley Cooper come out, very nervous, give him a lot of credit. Gaga's there. So we're right on top of him. He's like, how you doing, girl? And it was slightly wobbly. And then he got right into it, was hitting it. And then toward the end, he goes on the piano. Now, where I'm seated, exactly in the third row, I could see right past Mike's head and Rami Malek.
Rami Malek?
Sorry.
Yeah, you just don't care about anyone's name.
I think Kenan you're trying Brown, to put
too
why,
much of a spin
why,
on
yeah. Why, Kenan?
Oh, I'm here with Kenan O'Ryan.
But they're singing, and she can play with one hand. And they're like, in the shadows, la, la, la. In the shadows, la, la. So she had one hand on the piano and another hand someplace else. I'm not going to say, but I think I'm the only person who saw what was going on that night. In the shadows, yeah, yeah, yeah. In the shadows, nah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Look, if you know from the angle, she played with one hand. There was another hand free.
Yeah, what did you see?
I just saw in the shadows, yeah, yeah, yeah. In the shadows, yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know what I saw, and I don't want to say, but they were brilliant, and I love everybody. Brad,
I love everybody.
Brad Cooper.
You're a big, what's up about Norm MacDonald? You're a Norm MacDonald fan?
Yes. He's kind of like, I don't know. He's like a Mark Twain or something in a way.
Yeah.
In his own twisted brilliant way.
He has always been one of my favorites. One of my favorite interviews because I never know where he's going to go. I never know what's going to happen. I don't think he knows what's going to happen.
I love when he takes figures of speech, I guess would be the word, and he just twists them, you know? Mm-hmm. Like they say, red sky at night is a sailor's delight, right? Red sky at night is sailor's delight. You think a sailor's delight would be like some rum and a whore, you know? I mean, he takes it, you know what I mean? They say a penny saved is a penny earned. Well, that's 100% return, more like 1/100th of a penny earned. You know? Norm MacDonald.
You know what I used to love that he would do on my show, and I'm sure he's done it on other shows too, but I've never seen anyone do this before. He would come on with, you know, everyone has to tell stories when they come on a talk show. Norm would come on and he'd start talking and it would become clear immediately that he's just telling an old joke from like the 1920s.
Right, as if it's his experience.
But he would say like, hey, Conan, you know, I'm doing a good one. But hey, Conan, it's good to get us. And I'd be like, well, yeah, hey, Norm, what you up to today? Well, I bought a farm. You bought a farm, Norm? Yeah, I bought myself a farm. And just the other day, a salesman comes along. And I'm thinking, what? And it's, you know, it's like 2015. And he's like, yeah, comes to me and he says, I got three daughters. And I'm like, what are you? And then he tells a joke from 1925, but it's hilarious. And he just says like, yeah, this happened to me. Fuck you. I'm not going to tell a story about going to Walmart. I'm going to tell you about the farmer's daughter.
He deconstructs everything. I mean, that was his autobiography, right? It was sort of made up stories. And give me, what's a figure of speech? I'll normatize it.
Like a penny saved.
Well, that we already just did that one.
Oh.
Kill two birds with one stone.
How about this? How about this one? How about this one?
No wonder we don't know anything.
How about this one? Early to bed. The early bird gets the worm.
Yeah, they say like they say that the early bird gets a worm, right? You know what I mean? But, worms are kind of, they're there pretty much all day, you know? So the early bird's not the only one that gets the worms, you know? So why does anyone want a worm, you know? I mean, I don't know what it's like to be normal. Funny little rhythm, Conan. So you're doing the podcast, a special thing with Dan Agarno, right?
No one ever got my name right during my life.
Dana. It's a girl's name. Conan. That's weird. What are you in a gladiator movie?
That's what happened when I was a kid. People used to say like,
hey, really? I'm sorry. I saw a single tear.
No. They'd be like, hey, where's your sword? This was in Boston.
Where's
like,
your sword?
Where's your sword?
That sounds like, that almost sounds like, Mike Tyson's new podcast here. You ever hear it? It's really
fun. No, I haven't heard it.
It's called Hot Boxing. And he's like, he tells stories, you know, like when I was in prison, they said, you know, you can, I had a ball in prison, you know, I had steaks every day and everything. And then he said, you can buy animals, you know, and I said, okay, I like a tiger, you know, I was like really, I mean, it's mesmerized.
And he tells you, this is real stuff?
Yeah, I bought a tiger. I came back and I had four cubs and I raised the tigers, you know. You know, it's this great raising tigers. This is a very cool voice. You know, he's mesmerizing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you like prison, Mike? Did you enjoy it?
Oh, I had a wall in prison. You know, they bring me menus and stuff. You know,
wait, you got menus?
Oh yeah, I had all wired in prison. You know, I had a good time in prison. You know, I never ate good food like that. It was the best food I've ever had in my life. In prison.
Best food you've had in your life was when you went to prison.
Yeah, you know, I got the prison guard. She's this lady. I got her pregnant. You know, I had a lot of sex.
This is a true story.
I had a lot of sex in prison.
You had? He says he had sex in prison?
Yeah, I had a lot. I had a lot of sex in prison. I had a lot of, you know, I ate a lot of food in prison. I had a great time in prison.
I don't know if it's Mike Tyson, but it's a fun character.
Damn. I'm shocked that he, and that's, I've got to listen to that podcast.
Hot boxing. Anyway, we'll be right back.
Yeah, we are out of time on this one, right?
Really? Seriously? Yeah.
Man, another one flew by. Where these go too quickly.
Yeah, that one went very fast. This is very, I had a ball here, but this is goes very fast.
What did you prefer, Mike? Did you prefer this podcast we just did with Dana Carvey or being imprisoned?
I had a ball in prison. This is a great podcast. This is a great podcast, but you know, okay. I used to get all the podcasts in prison.
And all the best steaks.
I don't know. I guess I do a Mike Tyson now.
You do, as of now.
All right.
Well, all right, we'll take a break. That is it for... today's quick episode with Dana Carvey. Tune in for another or I pity you.
Conan O'Brien needs a friend with Sonam Obsession and Conan O'Brien as himself. Produced by me, Matt Gourley. Executive produced by Adam Sachs and Jeff Ross at Team Coco and Chris Bannon and Colin Anderson at Earwolf. Special thanks to Jack White for the theme song. Incidental music by Jimmy Vivino. Our supervising producer is Aaron Blair, and the show is engineered by Will Beckton. You can rate and review this show on Apple Podcasts, and you might find your review featured on a future episode. Got a question for Conan? Call the Team Coco hotline at 323-451-2821 and leave a message. It, too, could be featured on a future episode. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend on Apple Podcasts or wherever fine podcasts are downloaded.
This has been a Team Coco production in association with Earwolf.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. And of course, they're packed with the Dunkin' flavor you crave. Brew over ice and sip in seconds. Because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.